Father, thank you so much that we can be here, and thank you, Father, for truly setting us free in your Son, Jesus Christ. As we come before you this morning, Father, in this time of the Word, I just pray, Father, that each one of us just allow your Word to speak to us. May we allow you to guide our thoughts and our hearts. Minister to us this morning, Father, through your Word. Encourage us. Help each one of us, Father, to really learn one of the super spiritual principles of winning this war this morning. Father, if there be any who might be here or would hear us later on the web, I just pray, Father, if there be one who does not know Jesus Christ, that one would come to saving knowledge of him today, as your Holy Spirit would do that leading. And really, that one would be able to experience what it really means to be free. So I just lift this time up to you, Father. I pray, Father, I just stay out of your way. We love you. We adore you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Part 5. We're just going to jump right in. If you're joining us today for the first time or you've been away for a while, we're right in the middle of a preaching series on spiritual warfare. And we've found in the last several weeks, as we've looked at what God's Word says, that really there are three different enemies that you and I are battling. We got the flesh, that's sin, self. We got the world, that's the stuff that the world culture or the societal culture wants to indoctrinate everybody with and conform us to. And then we've also got Satan himself. He likes to stick his nose in every once in a while and stir things up a little bit. So we've got these three enemies that we battle. And we've been dealing with one of them in particular. But the reason that this is so important for each one of us to really understand and really get to know is so that we know without a shadow of a doubt who our real enemy is. And so that in these battles, that we come out victorious like Jesus Christ wants us to. Amen. He wants us to be victorious. He wants Christians to live a victorious life, not a defeated life. Now, we've been looking, like I said, these past several weeks on really the worst enemy. And the worst enemy is really not Satan. Our worst enemy is not really the world. I mean, we sometimes think it is. We sometimes say things like that. But our worst enemy, really, when it comes in the spiritual warfare realm, is ourselves. Our worst enemy is ourselves. In other words, we have this problem we have to deal with, and I call it the eye problem, and I guess I won't get in trouble with Apple because they sure don't want to create an eye problem. You know, they got pods and phones and all the rest, but I don't think they're going to create an eye problem. So we have this eye problem, and it's because we Christians have these two natures that are warring. Amen? We got these two natures, and Paul talked about it in Romans chapter 7, like we looked at the last several weeks. We've got an old nature that wants to be in control, and it is in complete opposition against the new nature that we received when we became saved, when Jesus Christ came into our hearts. And so even though as Christians, it boils down, we've struggled with the same thing that Paul said that he was struggling with back in Romans 7. We want to do right. I think every one of us here wants to do right. Amen? We want to do right. And we want to live our lives for Jesus. But we head off and do the wrong. We head off and do other things. Usually not the right things. Usually not even the best things. And it's like Paul was saying. He said, I've got all the best intentions. And I think every one of us in here could say that I got the best intentions to try to be right, to try to live a Christian life. Amen? And Paul says, I just couldn't do it. He says, I fall flat on my face. I fail. I do all the things that I know that I'm not supposed to do, that the law says I'm not supposed to do. I do all the things that I really know in my heart I shouldn't be doing. I really want to do the other things, but instead I do the wrong things. I think we all struggle with that one. Amen? That's the old nature. The old nature is there working. And we see this all over the world. I mean, all we have to do is open our eyes and look around. And we look at, for instance, the financial crisis that our nation is facing. Why are we facing it? Well, it's because of the old nature at work in a lot of folks. Greed, you know, unwillingness to make hard decisions that need to be made. In other words, we want to have our cake. This is the old nature. The old nature says, I want my cake and I don't want to have to pay for it. Right? I mean, that's what the old nature tells us. It says, I want it now also, and I don't want to have to pay for it, especially if I don't even have the money for it. This is what's going on, not just in the United States, but all across the world. Amen? But on top of that, it comes right on down even to the family level, to the individual level. It's the same reason that families suffer financially. They're wanting to buy all this stuff now and not have the means to pay for it. Maybe some of them have a crystal ball and they looked into it and they saw that the rapture's coming, so they figured they'd go ahead and max out their credit cards. They just forgot to tell us that it's on the way. So we don't know. It's not what the Bible's teaching, but anyway. Life is about making choices. And it's whose choice, you know, where are we going? Why are we going to make the choice, and who's leading us in the choice? And it boils down to either we're getting led by the old nature to make old nature choices, and when we do so, we neglect to check in with God so that we can make new nature choices. Amen? As we look at the passage of this, we're going to look at Romans chapter 8, and that's why I was telling Stan and Bev as they were coming off the stage, I said, wow, you know. God wants us to see how to overcome the eye problem. He doesn't want us to walk around with the eye problem. He wants us to be able to defeat it and to recognize it whenever it comes at us. And so the way we're going to do this, of how to overcome the eye problem, is we're going to go to God's Word. Wow, what a novel way to do it. I don't have a self-help book. I'm not going to give you a psychology class or a lecture. We're going to see what God has to say. In verses 1 through 4 in chapter 8, I want you to read along with me if you have your Bibles. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Think about that one. Amen. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you realize that doesn't say, well, there might be condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? Doesn't say that, does it? It said there is no, absolutely, none, 0% condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Zip. Praise God. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. And he condemned sin in the flesh so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. If you want to beat the eye problem, every day, probably multiple times a day, if you know Jesus Christ, this will work. Every day, remind yourself of what Jesus Christ did for you. And remember that in what Jesus Christ did for you, you now have no condemnation. Does that turn anybody on? Does that fire you up a little bit? Does that raise you up a little bit and you start to think, maybe I can dance? Maybe I can sing? I am free because there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. I mean, that's awesome. This is the starting point for a believer. If I am really serious about defeating the old nature that you're warring against, that I war against, then I start by remembering what it is that my Savior Jesus Christ did for me. And I start to praise Him. I put my mind, I put my heart, I put my eyes on Him. And something happens to the old nature. Who am I feeding when I put my eyes and my heart on Jesus? The new nature. Amen? Amen. See, this helps feed that. So how do we do that? What do we do when we say, okay, well, that sounds good. How do I do it? It all starts with putting your eyes and your heart and your mind on your salvation and remembering where it came from. Amen. So let's think through this with me, if you will. You know, what's salvation all about? Salvation came about because I needed to get saved from something. You needed to get saved from something. Amen? In other words, I needed to get rescued. Wow. In fact, my salvation in Jesus Christ not only saved me from the eternal fires of hell, to which I deserve, to which every one of us deserve, it not only saved me from the punishment for all of my sins, for saved you from all of the punishment of your sins, but my salvation saved me, but it set me free from the guilt, from the shame, and from the sins that all of that stuff lays on me. Amen? Amen. No guilt, no shame. Jesus said there's no condemnation. When's the last time you thought on your salvation? When's the last time you thought about what Jesus Christ did for you? You want to give the eye problem a swift kick in the you know what? Think on your salvation. Spend some time and think about what Jesus Christ did for you. Amen. You see, I'm going to be real honest. I got a real problem when people go around saying, well, I'm saved. And then they walk around and they don't look like it and they don't act like it. I think every one of us will agree. We know Christians, people who call themselves Christians, who walk around all the time and they're constantly filled with shame. What in the heck happened to them? What did they miss? Amen? How many, you know, uncontrolled thoughts. What in the heck happened to this person? What about the compulsions to sin over and over and over again? What about the compulsion to be bitter about life? My Savior said there's no condemnation if I know Him. Wow, how can I be bitter? How can I get angry? How can I have compulsions to sin over and over and over again? How can I live a life filled with shame and show nothing but guilt and shame and blah? Amen? The Lord said, no condemnation, I'm set free. Amen. And people are walking around out there, you know, so acting like they're insecure. I mean, that's a fancy word we like to throw around today. Amen? If I really understand what it means to be set free and what it really means to have no condemnation, how in the heck am I going to have insecurity? Amen? Do I hear an amen? Do you agree? I mean, mercy. Are we afraid we're going to lose our salvation like some of the other religions teach? Huh? That's insecurity. You know, have we as Baptists even fallen prey to works-based salvation, hyper-Arminianism? We like to fuss about hyper-Calvinism. Well, there's hyper-Arminianism, which says that you can lose your salvation. Do you realize that? You just got a 50-cent worth class of... of a big word. Woohoo. Do people actually believe that... I mean... Can a saved person really believe that he or she is stronger than the Lord Jesus Christ? And they can walk away from their salvation, or they can lose it because they changed their mind, or because they sinned and they forgot to repent? Hello? Boy, Ron, that'll preach out at the prison with some of those guys that live that talk. Do we believe that if we sin, God's no longer satisfied with us and now he's mad at us again? Huh? Now that creates insecurity, doesn't it? Wouldn't that create insecurity in your life? Wouldn't mine. It's obvious to me that a lot of these folks who say they're Christian and they walk around living that way, they don't read the Word of God. And if they do, they don't understand what the Bible says, and they've fallen into a bunch of false teaching. How in the world can you walk away from Jesus Christ? It's not an option according to the Scriptures. Once you know Him, it's not an option to go walk away from Him. What does God's Word say? Didn't say the Word's truth? In Jesus Christ the Word? Read Psalm 119, 160 sometimes. Go back there and look at that. Doesn't the Bible say that the truth sets us free? Amen. Huh? Didn't Jesus say that all that the Father had given Him did what? They can all be taken away from me. They can all walk away from me. It doesn't say that, does it? I want to read to you what it does say in John chapter 6, because I'll tell you what, this is some of the richness that comes out of who we really are as believers, and it drags us right back here to Romans 8, chapter, verse 1. Listen to this. John 6 says, all that the Father, and this is the Lord Himself speaking, He says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will not drive away, for I have come down to heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of Him, the Father, who sent me. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that He has given me. None. None. Amen. Doesn't sound like it leaves a whole lot of option to walk away, does it? Because He'd had to lose you, wouldn't He? That would make Him a liar. That would make the Word of God lie. Amen? And that's not the way it is. Our security, once you are saved, folks, it's a little aside, but it's tied right here. Our security, once we are saved, once we know Jesus Christ, once we have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, my salvation, your salvation is irrevocable. Amen. Irrevocable. My God is a sovereign God. Is yours? Jesus Christ is sovereign. And you know what? He divinely elected each and every one of us to salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ, if we know His Son as Savior and Lord. Can you say amen to that? Because I'll tell you what, that's why Paul is able to say the things that he says here in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, where he said, there is no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. You are a divinely elected to be one of God's children by sovereign God. And God doesn't change His mind. Amen. He doesn't take away what He has given. No condemnation means just that. It means that God is not going to judge you again. Thank goodness. And you know why? This is why this salvation thing is so important, and really understanding more that it's not just a ticket away from hell. It wasn't just something you did when you walked the aisle. This salvation thing, when you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord, your Lord Jesus Christ, took upon Himself your sins and my sins, and He paid the price totally, absolutely, 100%, completely on the cross that day. He paid your penalty. He paid my penalty on the cross. And if you really want to be a winning warrior and you want to kick the eye problem right square in the nose, give it one of those old swing kicks and lay it down. If you want to be that, go back and visit your salvation, because your Savior is that strong. There's no one stronger than him. So as we remind ourselves who we really are and in what we really are, because we are in Christ Jesus. And he said, if we're in him, there is no condemnation. We just need to get back into God's word ourselves, folks, and allow the word to minister to us. How do you do this? Get into God's word. Is that hard? Pick up your Bible. Get into a life group. Get into some of those lively discussions that we have. Come worship. Praise Jesus as you sing. Hear the word. Praise God for what he's done for you. Think on your salvation. And when you're armed with that truth, the truth of his salvation, folks, I'm going to tell you what, he sets you free from all the sin. He sets you free from all the shame, from all the guilt, from all the insecurity, from all the bondages. And like Paul wrote, there is no condemnation for anyone who is in Christ Jesus. Free indeed, regardless of what the enemy might tell you. And he will tell you contrary to that. You have to know. You got to be solid and know that you truly do belong to Jesus Christ. And you know what? Jesus even gave us the Holy Spirit to help us understand that, didn't he? Wow. I do want to be clear about something. Because I don't want somebody to get the wrong impression. Romans chapter 8 was written for saved people. Amen. It won't make any sense if you don't know Jesus. It's not a exercise. It's done in the heart. So if you receive Jesus Christ in your life, the Bible says you are under no condemnation whatsoever. And that sets you free when you really understand it. We are free. I am free indeed. Amen. It's really freeing to know that God doesn't get mad at me when I mess up and sin again. How about you? Amen. You see why it's so important? What does the enemy tell you? What does your mind tell you? What does the flesh tell you? Oh, off to the oven. Amen? Off to the hot fires. No. God says no. There's no condemnation if you're in Christ Jesus. Because he died for me, he died for you, and he shed his blood as a perfect sacrifice for us. And God sees you and he sees me. If we know him as Savior and Lord, he sees us as being righteous in his sight. And because of that payment that our Savior made, there is no condemnation. I told you I was going to sound like a broken record, I think. If I didn't, I apologize. I'm going to sound like a broken record today. There is no condemnation. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that doesn't say I won't ever sin again. It doesn't say that you won't ever sin again, because you will and I will. But it says that even though we fall, even though we fail, God says we are not under condemnation. Praise God. Praise God. And that means I don't have to walk around with guilt, with shame, with insecurity in my life. I can truly show Jesus Christ who Jesus Christ really is. And so can you. I am free because he set me free. You are free because he set you free if you know Christ Jesus. So if you really want to beat the old eye problem, start thinking about your salvation. Go back to the cross. Visit with the one who died for you. That brings us to the next part. This one's pretty easy. If you got that part down, this one becomes very easy. If you got that part down, this one's a snap. If I know Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord, I have a power that is better than my best willpower. Think about that. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you don't have to trust in your personal willpower anymore. You have a power that is better than the strongest willpower that you might have. And I've met some pretty strong-willed people, and I guarantee you, you have too. Amen? And do you realize that the power of the Holy Spirit is greater than even their strongest power? It really is. It's the power of the Holy Spirit in you and in me, who know Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, is the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's pretty powerful. I have not ever seen a person who had a strong will that had that power, ever. But my Jesus does, and he can heal, can't he? Praise God. Verse 2 tells us, it says, the law of the Spirit of life. And it's talking about the Holy Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life, or the power of the Spirit of life, has set us free from the law of sin and death. And we've been set free through Christ Jesus. Period. End of statement. So the way to win out over this eye problem that we have is through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit who is in us. And you know what? That's a greater power than my old nature can exert. It's a greater power than your old nature can exert. If you go back to before you became a believer, the only thing that you and I had to operate with was willpower to try to be better. Amen? Boy, did we fail. That was the only thing we had to overcome bad habits. With sheer willpower. I shared with the first service, I said, you know, I can remember way back, I mean, it's been quite a while back. I remember way back where I decided that I was going to stop smoking. This was a long time back, back in the 80s. I decided I was going to stop smoking. I think I decided I was going to stop smoking about 4 or 5 times. I failed miserably. But when I said to Jesus Christ, Lord, I really want to stop. And Lord, I can't do it on my own. And Lord, I need you to help me. Amen. And he said, will you? And I said, yes. I stopped with one prayer. And a few weeks later, somebody else did the same thing. We probably kept Winston, huh? R.J. Reynolds in pretty good money. One prayer. I went from willpower to God power. And we've got God power in us. He just wants to. He really does. And it is so easy. It really is. If you really understand your salvation and who Jesus Christ is, and you're really understanding that in your heart about what he has done and the fact that he truly has set you free, the rest of this stuff starts to really click into place, because all I've got to do is say, yes, Lord, and I submit to your will instead of my will. I'm going to do it your way instead of my way. I'm going to listen to the new nature instead of the old nature. You talk about grace. God gave us something we didn't deserve. We didn't deserve the Holy Spirit. We really didn't. He gave us the Holy Spirit, and he gave us all the power that goes with it, with him. And you know what that does? That makes you and I totally, 100%, absolutely victorious. I am an eye problem warrior winner. I win. What about you? Amen? See, real quick, I'm going to just sum all three. I'm going to sum up everything that we've looked at so far since day one, since the first we started this series. We got two natures that are at war, don't we? You guys can come on back up. We got two natures that are at war, and I need to feed the right nature. I need to feed the new nature, not the old nature. And that boils down to I got to start saying yes to Jesus in everything in my life. I need to get into God's Word. I need to get into His truth. I need to start to really believe His truth in my mind and in my heart. I need to talk regularly with God. That means praying with Him regularly, not just when it's crunch time. And the second thing then I need to do, after I recognize that I am at war with two natures, and I need to really look to Jesus, I need to remind myself daily, probably multiple times throughout the day, of what my Savior, Jesus Christ, did for me. And then thirdly, I need to appropriate and let the Holy Spirit use the power that He has in me by simply saying, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord," instead of trying to do it myself. Verse 9, Paul, a little bit later on in verse 9, tells us, he says, "You're not controlled by your sinful nature. Now you're controlled by the Spirit, if you have the Spirit of God living in you." Father, we thank You that You had Paul give us these words, because each and every one of us goes through these spiritual battles, and it seems like they're just never ending. So as we do, Father, as we face these problems, these eye problems, and particularly dealing with self and that old nature, I would pray, Father, that we would truly remember that You've already won the battle, and that You truly are our Savior. May we look upon You. May we look to You. May we remember what You have done. And as we do so, may we turn to You and say, "Yes, Lord," and let Your Spirit be in control and pour out His power instead of us trying to do it by our own. Father, there may be some decisions that need to be made this morning. There may be some commitments that need to be made, or maybe recommitments. Lord, you're the only one that would truly know that. And I pray this morning, Father, that as You are speaking to each one of us and You're talking to us, You're urging us, whatever it is that You're showing us, may we say yes to You. If there's somebody here this morning, Father, who's not trusted Jesus and You're calling to them this morning, I would pray, Father, that they would say yes and surrender their lives to Him and accept the gift of salvation from Him. If there's someone struggling here with an issue, Father, I would pray that he or she would say yes to You if they already know You, and they turn that over to You and allow You to deal with it through Your power. Whatever it may be, Father, may we go out of here today remembering and realizing in our hearts and in our minds, in our every fiber of our being, that there truly is no condemnation for each one of us who know Your Son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior and Lord. So I just lift this up, Father. This is our response time to You. May we respond now. In Jesus' name, amen.